Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Christmas is notoriously a season of cheer and joy and celebration, but for many it's a time of heaviness and regret or sorrow. Well, today we hope to encourage your heart by lifting your focus back to the Word of God and to the blessings of the season. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, the blessings of the season. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and we hope that you are walking through every step of this special holiday season with your eyes on Jesus Christ and your worship and affection looking towards Him. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study a series entitled The Blessings of the Season. We hope that if this is a time of sorrow or heaviness or hardship for you or those you love, we hope that today's message will lift your heart back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the promises of His Word. Today, the blessings of the season. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell can be heard on this station at this time every Monday through Friday, and we hope that you'll walk through God's Word with us even into the new year. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's message is entitled The Marvelous Gift of Christmas. Here's Pastor Chappell.
Well, how many of you have ever heard that saying, looks can be deceiving? And if you ever said that, maybe, looks can be deceiving. And certainly, there's some truth to that. This past Monday, I had the privilege of attending the board meeting for the Baptist International Missions Incorporated, and at their annual meeting, sometimes they allow you the privilege to bring a guest pastor with you to learn more about the missions work, and we thank God for the wonderful report of the increased mission support for missionaries and 1,000 missionaries with that particular group serving the Lord around the world, and it was a wonderful time. And I called my brother Stephen, who pastors in San Diego area. I said, Steve, why don't you travel with me to the meeting and we'll get some fellowship. You'll see some of the missionary work. And so he did. And we had a good time of fellowship. We enjoyed the board meeting. We got on the plane Tuesday to head back home. And we sat down. We opened up our laptops. We were working on some sermons and getting some things done for the church. And a nice stewardess came by and she said, would you like some coffee? I said, that sounds great. And so she gave me some coffee. And then she looked over at my brother next to me, about 40 years old. And she said, and how about your son? Would he like some coffee? And I got to tell you, I've had bitterness at that woman ever since she said that. And I thought, you know, I'm not even 50 yet. And she's given me a 40-year-old son here. So not sure exactly how to handle that, but I guess looks can be deceiving. I don't know. But maybe you've heard about the four stages of man. First of all, man, when he's younger, believes in Santa Claus. Then he gets a little older, he doesn't believe in Santa Claus. Then he gets a little older and starts his family, and he is Santa Claus. And then a little later in life, he looks like Santa Claus. And so sometimes you go through these stages and you're not really sure how you're perceived, but looks can be deceiving. And sometimes we try to deceive people with the way we wrap Christmas presents. I remember many Christmases ago getting my wife a little necklace, and I put it in the biggest box I could possibly find, and then I put it in several other boxes on the way in just to try to trick her and deceive her so she would not guess what was in that particular box that I had wrapped for her. Well, I suppose when you come to the Scriptures and you study how God came into this world, and when the average onlooker considers the scene at the manger and the way Jesus Christ was born and placed in that manger, I suppose those looks could be deceiving as well. I suppose someone just kind of glancing through the historical text of what happened in Bethlehem might miss the eternal significance, really, of what took place in this passage that we read just a moment ago. You see, the fact is that every aspect of Christ's birth has prophetic and scriptural significance for those of us who are born-again Christians today. In fact, it has eternal significance for everyone, whether they believe or not, because when you really understand who this was that came down to earth, you're forced with a choice. You are placed in the position of accepting or rejecting the truth of who Jesus Christ really is. And this morning, I want you to take a few minutes with me and look at the marvelous gift of Christ and try to understand how God brought this all to pass and what it means to every one of us today. I want you to notice in your outline this morning, first of all, that there was a sovereign decree given, and I want you to understand the significance of this decree. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Now, we see in the very first place, facing Joseph and Mary, an unavoidable circumstance. They are expecting the Lord Jesus to come. They are placed in a situation where they are now facing an unavoidable circumstance of going to Bethlehem. It was not by their choice. It was not something that they would have an opportunity to take a pass on this. This was an imperial order. Caesar Augustus ruled from 27 BC until 14 AD. He was a man that had great worldwide power, no doubt. Some of you have studied the Roman Empire. Amazing things took place at the first century. Rome had the first fire department established, and they had about 170,000 soldiers to feed and to arm. And Rome had expansive highways. Some of you have heard about the Roman roads system and all throughout Italy and on over to Constantinople, and these roads had to be maintained. And how many of you realize, just from maybe listening to the news, when you have armies overseas and roads that need to be maintained, sometimes you're going to have taxes. And so Caesar Augustus decreed that all the world should be taxed. And that included those Jewish people living in Palestine. They were under Roman authority. And so it was that they were decreed. It was enforced upon them that they should go and pay their tax. And one of the things we learn in the Christmas story is that nothing takes God by surprise. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Have you come to the place of realizing that even when there are unavoidable circumstances in life, that God is still working in the midst of those times? Even when people like Caesar Augustus, people that we may feel are not in touch with the will of God, the ways of God, not sensitive to the needs of man, even when these times are upon us, that even then God is working in ways that we do not know. You see, the unavoidable circumstances of this particular Christmas story teach us that God is always in control. In your notes, the Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse 13, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him the path of judgment, and taught Him the knowledge of knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding?" You see, folks, the fact is, it's not my job to counsel God, it's my job to trust God. It's my job to realize that even when the unavoidable circumstances come, even then I need to learn to trust my God. How many of you have noticed that in the Bible we see many different situations that were difficult at first, but God had a reason in the end? You remember the story of Joseph. He was sold by his brothers into slavery. They hated his coat of many colors. They were jealous of the father's love for him. And so they sold him into slavery. He was taken into Egypt's land where he was falsely accused. He was imprisoned. I mean, it looked bad for Joseph. But at the end of the story, we find that God used Joseph to bring salvation and provision to his father's people. And God had a plan all the time. Joseph may not have known of that plan every step of the way. And you may not know what God is doing completely today, but you can rest in the fact that God is always working through His plan for His people. I find it quite amazing that God would touch the heart of the most powerful man on planet Earth in order to bring Joseph and Mary, that seemingly insignificant couple, into the center of His will for them at that very moment. I see throughout the Bible God doing things like this. I see God taking Daniel as one of those Hebrew children out of his home and into the land called Babylon. And there in a time of captivity, it seemed like there could be no good come of that. And yet through that experience, we receive not only the book of Daniel, but many of the greatest lessons that we could ever learn from the Word of God. You know, sometimes there are circumstances that are unpreventable. There are circumstances that are difficult, but they are always meant for our good. Years ago, someone said something to me that has helped me in my life so very much. It might be found in your notes, just this little phrase. Anything out of our control is in the will of God. Anything out of our control is in the will of God. Do you have a circumstance right now that has come into your life and you would not have allowed that to happen if you could have stopped it? But here it is upon you today. Even in the midst of the Christmas season, you're experiencing it. I want to remind you that there is a sovereign God in heaven today, and He's ruling and reigning in the affairs of men. Here was an unavoidable circumstance. Here we see, secondly, an unapproachable leader, an unapproachable ruler. It wasn't like Joseph and Mary could say, "Hey, Caesar, yeah, we're down here in Nazareth. This is not very convenient for us. We'd like to file a complaint." How many of you know you didn't file complaints with the Roman government? You did not make that your habit. You couldn't go to Cyrenius and say, "Hey, could we put the tax off for a while? I know it's due in April. Could we maybe pay it a six-month extension later?" You see, there was unapproachable rulership. This was a time when they simply had to trust that God was doing what He was doing on their behalf. And to stop and think about the fact again that God would move on the hearts of these rulers to position Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem exactly where they were told in Scripture that Jesus Christ would be born, exactly at the time where Micah had prophesied that Jesus Christ would be born. You know, Proverbs 21:1 says this, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever He will." And I just thank God today that He is in control and that we can trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You may be facing today some unavoidable financial circumstances. I mean, it's not like you chose unemployment. It's not like that was what you wanted today. You may be facing some difficulties in your family. It's not like you chose to have this situation come upon you. But I want to remind you today that there's a God in heaven who works all things together for good to those who love Him and those who trust Him. This sovereign decree was a decree that God allowed and that God ordained. But notice secondly with me this morning, a special destination. Why did God give this decree through Caesar Augustus? It was specifically to bring Mary and Joseph to a very special destination. Notice if you would in verse 3, it says, "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Now the Bible says in Acts 15:18, "Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world." And I suppose that Mary and Joseph, as they traveled to Bethlehem, I suppose Mary could have wondered, "Why in the world am I having to mess around with these animals and this trip and take this journey?" I suppose it was not the easiest going up and down the rocky roads that she would travel from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. But the fact was, these principles and this pathway was known unto God. And as you travel today, even to Bethlehem, it's not the easiest place to get into. We had the privilege of visiting there a few years ago, and as you travel to Bethlehem, you do see some of the lands of the shepherds, and there is a kind of a romantic reminder of the Bible stories you heard as a child. But the closer you get in, it gets a little more difficult to navigate. The Palestinian Authority is, of course, in charge of Bethlehem, and you've got to get around the navigation of the United Nations defense and watch groups that are all around that area. You've got to go through a heavily guarded gate to get to Bethlehem today, and you've got to call in ahead many times, and some guides are allowed in, some are not allowed in. You finally see the little sign that says Bethlehem, and you come into the one place they want to take you is a Catholic church where they believe maybe is near to the site that Jesus was born. And we walked in and saw here a Muslim couple coming to see what they believe to be a holy site. No professing Christian could go into a mosque, but they were there seeing this site. And many, many, many people come there into a church that they want to say that this is where Jesus Christ was born. I don't know that that can be proven biblically, but somewhere within a few miles of this site, Jesus Christ was born. I believe even as it's difficult to get there today, it was very difficult for Joseph and Mary to come to this destination. But this destination was special. A few reasons why. First, because it was a prophesied city. This city was prophesied in the Scripture. The Bible says in John 7:42, "Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" You see, this prophecy told them that they would come to Bethlehem to give the birth of this child. Micah prophesied where? Isaiah prophesied how? That they would leave Nazareth, that they would pass Jerusalem, and that they would come 6 miles south of Jerusalem to the little city of Bethlehem. Why did they go to Bethlehem? Because God had ordained that this was where His Son would be born. You see, this city of Bethlehem, this was a place that was prophesied in the Scripture. Not only was it a prophesied city, but I want you to know, secondly, that Bethlehem was known as a providing city. Bethlehem, of course, was a place surrounded with the sheepfolds, and it provided in the way of meat and dairy product for the people of the region. Much was there in the way of agriculture. In fact, the city of Bethlehem, or the town of Bethlehem, that name simply means the house of bread. And so it was that Jesus Christ was born in the house of bread. There, in that hilly region with V-shaped hills all about, where the sheepfolds were kept and where the crops were grown, Jesus Christ came into this world. He came into the house of bread. You know what I love about this part of the Christmas story? Is that Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, was born at the house of bread. Oh, listen, it's one thing to have physical provision. And many today and at this time in our economy need physical provision and assistance and encouragement. But the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You see, much more important than the bread of this world is the eternal bread of Jesus Christ. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Bethlehem then not only provided physical bread, Bethlehem provided the spiritual bread that this world so desperately needs. Remember what Micah said in Micah 5 and verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." This speaks of the eternality of Jesus Christ. Jesus said before Abraham was, "I am." Jesus Christ was from everlasting, and He came to Bethlehem. Listen, my friend, contrary to the teaching of the Jehovah Witness and other false cults, Jesus Christ did not begin His existence in Bethlehem's manger. Jesus Christ is from everlasting. He is eternal God. He was with the Father in eternity past. Yes, He took the form of a man in Bethlehem's manger, but thank God that as the bread of life, He is eternal God. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 32, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Oh, this morning, if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand that when you drink from the water of life, the Word of God, you'll never thirst again. When you partake of the bread of life and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can know that you have eternal life, for He is the bread of life. Oh, listen, friend, He, as the one, the Savior God who came to Bethlehem, the city of bread, is the bread of life for all who will believe. Well, we see a sovereign decree ordaining the destination of Mary and Joseph. And then we see a special destination, Bethlehem, the city of bread. But I want you to come to the heart of our message this morning, and I want you to see with me a supernatural delivery. Now, we understand that the conception of Jesus was supernatural. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary. We understand that the delivery was a normal delivery in the sense that Mary gave birth to Jesus, but the supernatural aspect was who was born. For the one that was born was the very Son of God. Now, I want you to picture this in your mind this morning. See the picture if you can. The scripture says in verse 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." One of the things I so appreciate about the King James Version of the Bible is how delicately the virgin birth is treated, how specifically the Holy Spirit has shown us here in the Word of God that Mary was a virgin. Here we see time and again reminders that she had not known a man, that she was betrothed to Joseph. Here we see the Bible says in this particular passage, she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. And we see him there in the manger as the son of Mary. Yes, we do. We understand that he was called in the scriptures the Son of Man. But we also see him there as the Son of God, for he was conceived not of Joseph, not of man's Adamic sinful line, but he was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God and was given into this world as the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's his birthday we celebrate this month. It was his birthday that they were celebrating that morning. I heard about a little girl unwrapping all of her presents, and her relatives came to her and said, "Well, did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas?" And she thought about it for a moment and she said, "Well, no, but then again, it's not my birthday, is it?" That's a little girl that had the right idea. She realized that it's all about Jesus and all about his birthday. He is called the Son of God. He is called the Son of the Highest. Look at that in verse 10. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Luke 1 and 32 says that he is the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. How could someone refer to Jesus Christ as the Son of the Highest? How can we as Christians refer to him as the Son of God when perhaps a billion Muslims today deny that God ever had a son? How can we lift up this truth continually now that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Well, it goes back to the scriptures in Luke 1 and verse 35. Perhaps you'd like to look there in your Bible or in your notes this morning. And it says there, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." My friend, Jesus Christ is the Son of God because he was not conceived of Joseph or any other man, but the conception was made possible by the overshadowing miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, Jesus Christ was born as the Son of God, and Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. What an amazing miracle indeed. God in the flesh. Look at the verse in your notes, 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And let's all of us on this Sunday morning just catch a glimpse at the theological truth, at the eternal truth of who Jesus really is. The Bible says in this verse, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Would you say that with me? God. Say it again. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Why do we celebrate this season so emphatically? Is it because of the traditions of men, the American traditions of lighting candles? Is it because of the fact that there's even some false religious tradition associated with the Christmas season? No, we do not celebrate those traditions necessarily, though they are perhaps a part of the decor. But what we celebrate truly is this truth that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the blessings of this Christmas season. And probably the greatest blessing of all would be for you to receive God's gift to you. Lots of gift giving during this time of year, but the greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of a Savior through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To recognize what he did for you on the cross, to lay aside everything that you're trusting, and to trust him alone as your Savior. Friend, we invite you to bow your head and heart and make this simple decision of faith. Invite Jesus Christ into your life right now to be your Savior. It's a decision you will never regret. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chapel and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chapel's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox, every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chapel, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from on board a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.